Psalm 26, and we'll pick up tonight with verse number 8, Psalm 26 and verse number 8. The Bible says this, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hand is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. Thank you, Father, for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us tonight, Father. We pray in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Verse 8. Psalm 26, verse 8. David says here, he says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. I have loved the habitation of thy house. So listen, David loved to be around the things of God. No doubt he's talking about the temple, the habitation of his house. He loved the habitation of God's house. Why? Well, because the Lord inhabited it. Notice he didn't just say, I've loved thy house. He said, I've loved the habitation of thy house. The habitation of thy house. Well, who inhabited it? The Lord did. That's why David loved it. Well, go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Now, we know that today there is no building, there's no temple today as far as a building that God inhabits. He now inhabits the temple of the believer's body. So if you're saved, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And man alive, you get a bunch of saved people together, then there's a congregation of people that God indwells. And that's supposed to be a good thing. It is a good thing. And it's something that a true saint of God should desire to be around. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. All right, so David loved to be around the habitation of God's house. Well, who does God inhabit now? The believer. The believer. And so that begs us, that begs the question then to be asked. And we need to ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Do you love to be around God's people? Around Christians. Do you love to come to church? If not, why not? Now listen, if someone, and people make these kind of statements. Well, Christians, stop right there. So the world's better? You think you're going to find anything different out in the world? Yeah, sometimes around Christians, you're going to find junk because they got flesh. But that's all the world's got. Yeah. You understand me? All of you, youngins, you understand? You're going to run into problems in church. By the way, if you find a perfect church, please don't join it. Because it won't be perfect no more. You're never going to find a perfect church. What you can find are doctrinally sound churches. But any church is going to have individuals that have problems because we still have flesh. But let me tell you something. That's all the world's got. All they have is flesh. All they have is a wrong spirit. The people of God may have some junk to deal with, but they have God in them. Now, who you like to be around? Who you like to hang around? Christians, don't you dare. Find a set of people on this earth. Find a set of people that lives. Because Jesus Christ lives in them.
That's right.
I don't see much of it. Well, God help us. When's the last time you prayed then for somebody? Okay, look here. If you got somebody that you feel don't measure up to your standards of what Christianity is among somebody who goes to your church, all right, when did you last pray for them? When did you last get on your face and pray for them? When's the last time you tried to encourage them? When's the last time you thanked God for them or thanked them for the friend they are to you? I'm serious. Folks, I tell you what, this stuff, A lot of things that people try to hide behind today. I'll be around Christians. They're just a bunch of what? A bunch of sinners saved by grace, which supposedly you are too. Who have their problems that they got to work through too. So you're going to pull a real smart move. You're going to hang around people that God don't even abide in. Well, I find better fellowship. Then what you're saying is you're one of them. What you're saying is that you don't fit around than the people that God dwells in. Now, are you serious now? Are you serious? Folks, look here. This foolishness had better stop in people's lives, y'all. I'm serious. You better ask yourself some honest, sincere, and straight up questions. David loved to be around the habitation of the Lord's house because God dwelt there. Do you love being around the people of God or the world? You know, it's fun. This psalm is filled. What have we been looking at week after week here? And we can't, what are we going to do? Can't get around it. And there it is. David says, I will not sit with the wicked. I will not go in with dissemblers. I will not sit with the wicked. I hate those that do. Look here. I told you before. Listen, brethren, let me tell you something. Look here. A lot of people try to say, you know, well, Jesus hung around. Well, again, you're going to do like Jesus did? You're going to talk to them about their need of salvation? You say, well, I don't think that's how you ought to do it. Well, let me tell you something. I had some friends when I was in the military, people I worked with. And you know what? Why? I had one fella, and he'd ask me over to his house to eat, and I'd go over to his house to eat. But let me tell you something. That thing got turned, and he knew it was going to, too. He knew what was coming. That thing got turned around to the things of the Lord. That thing got turned around to the things of God and me. Because you know what? I cared about his soul. And he knew that. He didn't get saved. And we didn't hang around together. How could we? We didn't go to the same kind of places. We didn't have the same interest. We didn't believe the same things. But you know, he'd get on his lawnmower. This was about when he was on Royal Road. And he would take, at times, drive his lawnmower down there and just mow the churchyard. Just to do it. And he knew that I was going to pray for him and talk about him. I'd go to his house. But let me tell you something. We didn't sit around. He didn't pull a beer out for us to drink a beer around. He didn't pull out no dirty movie. He didn't say, let's run down to Dizzy Lizzy's. It used to be a bar in 78 called Dizzy Lizzy's. And that's where so many people loved to hang. It's a bad place, right? He went there. He didn't ask me to go there with him. He asked me to go to his house to eat. I went to his house to eat. But let me tell you something. That thing got around the things of God. Now listen, you know, I know sometimes, Matt, you've had people sometimes before when you're down in Charleston get on you and say, well, this is not how you do it. But then when you ask them what they do, you find out they're not doing anything then, but they're ready to correct. Let me tell you something, y'all, look here. And you young folks, I'm telling you, this psalm is filled with, what are we going to do? This psalm has been filled with, I have not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go with the dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Now, boy, I tell you what, there's a constant theme that's been in this psalm. And some of you are going to be facing it. Some of you may be facing it now, whether old or the young, and you're going to be facing it. Who are you going to fellowship with? And listen, I'm not talking about, listen, you've got to be around the world. We see that in 1 Corinthians 5, or you'd have to go out of the world. Co-workers you have to deal with, people in the neighborhood, sure, but who are you going to fellowship and spend time with? Who? Well, I think are you talking to them about their need of righteousness, their need of their need to have sin taken care of, their need of repentance? Then what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? Let me tell you something. If you're not careful, what's going on is you hang around people who gratify a part of your flesh rather than spiritual things. And you've got to be careful listen, you better be careful and really ask yourself, what is it you desire? Let me tell you this also. Listen up. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A friend will love you enough to tell you the truth. If you've got friends out there, whether at work, whether in the neighborhood, whether wherever, listen, are you really a friend to them? What are you talking about? Well, do you ever rebuke their wrong? Do you ever rebuke their wrong? Do you ever tell them about the reality of hell? Of hellfire? Of their need for repentance and coming to Jesus Christ? Does your words and your life speak a rebuke to their sin? Christ did. This would be like Jesus, right? Christ did. Let me tell you something. You ain't a friend. You just like to hang around maybe different people like that because it likes to gratify a part of your flesh or a worldly sense of something. Now, folks, it's just truth. One of the worst rebukes I ever got I stand here ashamed to tell you about it. I'll tell you about it. There was a friend of mine. We was in high school together. And we didn't run around a whole lot because I met Sarah and I definitely wasn't going to do all the things he was doing. But he rode to school with me. And I went out one night and with two other fellas. I was going to go see Sarah, pick her up at Kmart where she worked at. And I had the only amount of alcohol I ever had in my life was half a beer, right? I was trying not to swallow that, poured the rest of it out. And I want to tell you something. Look here. When that friend of mine found out about it, you know what he said to me? You know what he said? He didn't say, "That's pretty good." He didn't say, "Well, you coming along." You know what he said? "It's a lost man." He goes, "What are you doing? You're supposed to help get us right. You're not supposed to." I'm 53 years old. And the shame of that still just kicks my rear end. You understand that? Who are you? Who are you? See, I came up in a public school environment, like some of you did, and there was no other. That's where it was in the middle of it. But I'll tell you this: by the grace of God, I had some friends that knew there were some things different, supposed to be different. Who are you? You need to ask yourself that. You ain't going to be able to keep one foot in the world and one foot around the things of God that just don't work. Who are you? And are you really a friend of the people that you think, I mean, what kind of a friend lets somebody go on in anything wrong? And for people you work with or people you are in your neighborhood or people whatever and you spend time with, they listen, something about God needs to be there from you. A rebuke from your life. When there are things that are wrong, something needs to be said. Something needs to be. I'm just telling you. I want to ask you again. Do you love to be around God's people, around Christians? I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to hear. I'm sick and tired. I know there's junk that's going on. I know there's falsehood out there. I know that. But you know my problem with a lot of people say, "Yeah, Christians. Yeah, this." But you know what? They never search to find someplace that is real and right then. It's an excuse. It's an excuse to hide behind. And that's a fact. Christians, they're just this and they're always just, you know, this and they're that and they just, you know, do-gooders. Just always thinking they're more righteous than everybody else. You know what? Yeah, I guess you're right. The world's really got it, don't they? I mean, that boy, they got the answers. They got, Christ don't even live in them. Yes, Christians have some problems sometimes. They've got flesh. It's the best crowd you're going to find on this earth. I'll tell you that right now. They've got the Lord in them. And there's something there to work with. You prayed for them? better ask yourself some serious questions tonight. I'm just serious. Who do you love to be around? Do you love to come to church? Why not? Why not? And folks, I tell you something, we're going to, now listen, Lord, help me. God in heaven, help me. Help me. But brethren, listen, do you love to come to church or not? If you don't, why not? Because of sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is over there. But you're going to have to get your eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
You're going to have to.
Yes, sir.
Because that's what you're going to have to deal with that to the day you die in any place you ever go. And gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. Look here, don't ever even think about doing any kind of pastor or nothing like that. You ain't going to happen. What are you going to do? Look here. What are you going to do sometimes? Listen, when you stand up and if you paid attention to looks, why, man, it flees a volcano over sometimes. What are you going to do? And just the way it is, you have somebody you know ready to claw your eyes out and then, good message, pastor. I mean, you go 20, 30 years of this stuff, man. Things happen, right? And it's like, whatever. You can look at somebody and go, you lying through your teeth. It's whatever. But it's just the way it has. It's just the way. You know what? Listen, because you realize, you know what? That's somebody just like me, got flesh, things go on. God, you're perfect, though. Really? You won't, God, you won't make it. You won't make it. I'm serious. It better be something you know God's in. That God's in with your eyes on the Lord. Because you won't. And so I'm just saying, you. It's just absolutely. I mean, sometimes, I told you before, sometimes you got to deal with this. Head back, eyes closed, and that leg's just going. Or this is right here. And it's just like, that person's blood pressure has got to be through the roof. It just happens, man. I've seen it. They'll look at you, close your eyes, nod your head. Or one of these is. Listen, what are you going to do? Stew about it? Get upset about it? No, you're going to realize just sinners saved by grace. Maybe they're saved, maybe they're not saved. If they are, well, they've got flesh. Things happen. And you'll just, and the thing to do is go and examine your own self and say, Lord, help me. If there's something I need to see about myself, and if God shows you something, fine. If he doesn't, fine, and you press on. But you've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Why do you think the Bible says consider him? Looking unto Jesus, because we can't make it any other way. Brethren, look here. If we don't, we won't be able to sing to God. We won't be able to praise him. We won't be able to do anything. Look here. Yes, Christians have problems. But it's the best group of people you're going to find. So again, you're going to tell me that people out there without the Lord are better? It's better in the sense of they can benefit you. The Lord's not even in them. All they got's flesh. Listen, are you really a friend to them? Are you dealing with them about as looking for doors and praying for doors to witness about their sin, their need of repentance? Does your life rebuke their life? Folks, if you can hang around people that don't know the Lord and they don't have a problem with you, God's got a problem with you. So, preacher, I don't agree with that. Well, I wonder what other things you're wrong about. Because you're wrong. And you can't find, you cannot read in that Bible anything different. And you know that. And you know that. Look here. Look what David says. He says, verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Says, and the place where thine honor dwelleth. See, the place where the Lord's habitation is where his honor dwelt. Well, does God dwell within you? If you're saved, he does. If he does, do you behave yourself in such a way that he would bestow honor upon the temple of your body? Look what it's worded. It says, O Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house. That's his temple. And the place where thine honor dwelleth. God put honor on that temple. God just did it. See, God just does something sometimes. Sometimes God will just do something that you can't Brethren, it's intangible. You can't figure it out. You can't put it on a, you can't put it in a computer. You can't plot it. You can't graph it. It's just God. It's the same kind of thing to where one song could be sung by a person, one service, and God just move and do something. Same song, same person, another service. Bloop. You can't graph that thing out, man. You can't put a slide rule on it. You can't figure it out. That's just God. It's just God doing things. And sometimes God will bestow honor. God will bestow blessing. It's just how God does with things sometimes. But you and I should so live that God could bestow His honor upon the temple of our body. Go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 14. I tell you what, you know, most time, I ain't no telling what's going to happen. If the Lord don't come on back, there ain't no telling what's going to happen in churches.
That's right.
There is no telling. There is no telling. Last night she told me, she said, that's not the other night. She goes, you didn't see it. She goes, you were going to the bathroom. And I said, it was good. I'm so glad I didn't see. But she said there was some modes of apparel that probably they should have asked some people to leave. It was almost bordering just open undressing. And it's sad. And it's sad. We was walking down through there, and I guess there was some fella, and he was, you know, cross-dressed, but it was obvious that I didn't see it. She died. I can't handle looking at it. I can't handle it. And you're seeing more of it. And let me tell you something. We say, are you thinking better than those people? Let me tell you something. I broke my heart. I about want to cry. It hurt me so bad. It hurt me for them people. It fills you with a number of emotions. It fills you with disgust because it's ungodly. It is devilish. There's a spirit there that you can sense that is just ungodly devilish. And then you hurt. You hurt because you know the misery they are in and trying to convince themselves otherwise and where they're headed. And I'm going to tell you something, brethren. Listen, there is no telling where this thing's going to go as far as if it keeps going, what you'll have in churches. Moms, dads, look here. Do the best you can to put in the right kind of principles and understanding and the sense that God is a holy God. And He requires holiness and godliness from His people. Psalm 91, look at verse 14. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and will show him my salvation. Notice the kind of person the Lord bestows His honor upon. It says, he's known my name. I will deliver him and honor him. Show him my salvation. Says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I deliver him. So the person that the Lord delivers and shows his honor upon is somebody that loves him. Somebody that takes and calls upon him. God will put his honor upon him. Brethren, you and I should so live for the Lord and love him that God would bestow honor upon us. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what honor man gives. Doesn't mean a thing. What honor a man gives, that doesn't mean a thing. The only thing that's going to matter is the honor that comes from God Almighty one day.
Amen.
Brethren, men can give title. Men can give award. Men can give accolades. They can do all kind of things. It's not going to mean one thing one day. All that's going to matter is what God says, what the honor God bestows. If sometimes people in the military have been known to have the I love me walls. And you know, and that's everything they've ever got, every award, that's the I love me wall. It's all, right, and it's everything all up there, right? And the thing about it is, but ultimately, what is it? Right, I mean, really. Ultimately, what is the thing? You take an Olympic athlete, okay? He got an Olympic gold medal. Okay, one thing. Did he race every human on the earth? No, he didn't. So But that's the fastest man on the planet.
How do you know?
You want to mess somebody like up? Whisper in their arm. Whisper in their ear. Whisper in their arm. Whisper in their ear. Are you sure? Think about it. There might be somebody out there. You don't know. How much can it really mean then? It doesn't. It doesn't. It really doesn't. It just creates an idolatrous kind of thing that men, you know, go for the gold, go for the, you know. The Bible calls it a corruptible crown. Yet the Bible says as a believer, you and I have the opportunity to for an incorruptible crown. Amen. That fadeth not away. And to have the Lord give you that. You know, Jim Thorpe, one of my most famous athletes, you know, he was. And Jim Thorpe, King Gustavus, I think it was, of Sweden, gave him a gold medal. And Thorpe did pretty good, no doubt, no doubt. And he won, I don't know how many Olympic events, right? Just blew the field away. And the king said, sir, you are the greatest athlete of this century, or something like that. And Jim Thorpe said, thanks, King. But, you know, part of the honor of that thing for him was the king telling him that. But he don't really know. I mean, really. Could Thorpe have really known? Listen, could Usain Bolt, I guess that's his name, right? Could he really know that there's nobody faster than me? No, he can't know that. He can know that he beat the field that day, but he can't know that there's not somebody out there faster, or there's not. But let me tell you something. When the God of the universe rewards you, nobody can stand up and say, I think he fouled. I think he stepped over the line. I think he shot out too soon you crossed the lane, whatever, you know. I think he messed up. Nobody. There's nobody in the universe can stand up and say, I think he cheated. Ain't gonna happen. Lord says, you got it, you got it. There's nothing greater than that. Brethren, you and I, go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Do you want God to do something in your life? I'm not talking about what man thinks is a big work. I ain't worried about that stuff. I'm talking about God really working in your life. I'm not talking about what people think is a big man. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about God really working in your life. Do you want that? Do you want to be prepared unto every good work? Do you want God to bestow honor upon you? Do you want to be a vessel unto honor? You know what? You got to purge yourself from some things. There's a way you're going to have to live for the Lord. There's a way you're going to have to live in places you're going to have to put yourself around and keep yourself around if you would be a vessel unto honor. Notice he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these. Well, what kind of things? Verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. If you put yourself around those who are talking of earthly matters rather than spiritual matters, that's going to influence and affect you and have an effect on you. You will not be able to be a vessel unto honor. You will not be prepared and fit for every use and purpose of God. Let me tell you something. If you take and purge yourself from, and once again, we're not talking about not being the, we're talking about not being snobbish, stuck up. We're talking about being the best worker you can, the best neighbor you can. Just as friendly as you can be, being as helpful. We're talking about fellowship. We're talking about the company you spend time with. You understand? Young folks, do you understand? It's going to affect you in adverse ways. And once again, I ask you, what kind of a friend are you? Are you helping that person, if they don't know the Lord, to come to know the Lord by dealing with matters of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? What kind of friend are you? Listen, we should so conduct ourselves that the Lord would honor us with his presence. Go to 1 Samuel 4. 1 Samuel 4. 1 Samuel 4, look at verse 21. 1 Samuel 4, verse 21. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." That's bad. Ichabod. I know sometimes people call it Ichabod, but you got pronunciation says Ichabod, so either way you want to count it. But I tell you what it means. The glory's departed. The glory's departed. You know what? You don't want that. Man, you don't want God writing across your home, your life, your church. The glory's departed. And that's what happened. The glory departed. What you do, preacher, you get right. Because the ark came back and God's glory came back. God honored them again. God bestowed his honor there. The ark came back. All right? And what do? You get that thing right. You get that thing taken care of. But God forbid that it happen to start with. Maintaining something's not easy. It's not enjoyable. But it's a lot easier than having to get something back. Seriously. Take your Bible, go back to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. Look what David says in verse 9. "Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men." David did not want to be gathered with sinners. He said, "Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men." Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. It kills me. It kills me when people try to say, again, well, you know, Jesus hung around the whores and the this, that, and the other. Once again, don't you dare say that unless you're going to do like Jesus did. And deal with them about their sin. I be a true friend to them. Try to bring them to God. Yes, there have been saints of old, and boy, they got down there, and they got with a rough crowd, and they got with that. But you know what? They dealt with them in truth. They dealt with them in truth. And they didn't pull no punches with them. You're going to be that way. Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13, verse 24. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both go together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." What did David say? "Gather not my soul with sinners." David's like, "Lord, I want to be gathered with the righteous. I want to be gathered with the righteous, not with sinners." Take and go down to Matthew 13, verse 47. And you got, let me just say this real quick. You got to understand, these illustrations Jesus are giving don't have to do with the church age, because this is a general resurrection kind of thing that the Jews understood. They understood that. The things have to do with the church and the rapture. Those were mysteries, so just get that in your head. But look at Matthew 13, verse 47. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now, again, that's a thing dealing mainly with Israel at the Lord's return, because we know the angels don't separate us. We get raptured out or we go home at the death. This has to do with, again, something primarily with Israel. But notice it's a gathering and a separating that will take place. And David says he didn't want to be gathered with sinners. He wanted to be gathered with the righteous. Well, can I say something to you? If you don't want to be gathered with sinners, then you must be part of the righteous. Do you really expect to hang around with the ungodly, with the world, and then be gathered with the righteous? But I'm saved. Then why are you hanging around the wrong crowd? If you are. Brethren, I'm just dealing with what we're up to in the passages. But I'm shooting straight with you. I don't know. I ain't at your house. I ain't on your job. I ain't at your school. But I'm dealing with the passages. And I'm going to ask you again. Do you really expect to hang around with the ungodly, with the world, and then be gathered with the righteous? Somebody said, well, I know, but I'm saved. Then why are you hanging around the wrong crowd? Why don't you love the people and things and places of God? You are kidding yourself. I'm serious. And if you'll receive it, this kind of thing will help you. It'll help you now, it'll help you in eternity. But you better be straight up about yourself. But I'm saved. I know of it. Why don't you love the things of God? So you're telling me that Christ abides within you. David didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Yet here's a man that says, I love the habitation of God. I love to be around the things of God. And he didn't even have the Lord in him. He was not even born again. And yet we have people today saying, I'm saved. I know the Lord. And yet don't want to be around the things of God. Don't want to be around the places of God. Don't want to be around the people of God. Well, a bunch of hypocrites. And so are you. Join the crowd. You ain't no different. Ain't no different. You understand me? Try to hide behind that stuff. Well, you know, Christians are just, or just stop it. Stop it. You know better. Sinners saved by grace. Well, I said starting out, I'll say again. It's the finest group that you're going to find this side of glory. And what are you going to do? Again, go to the world? That's all they got is flesh and the wrong spirit. Yeah, love them like the Lord loves them. Love them enough to pray for them. Love them enough to convict them by your life. Love them enough to convict them by your words and try to help them. Be a good friend. Be a good neighbor. Give them truth. But that's not the same as fellowship. That's not the same as who you spend time with. Man, our Lord would go into that crowd and he'd give them truth and he'd go with them. But who did he spend time with? Who was the time he spent? Man, his disciples. Oh, and they were a lovely group, weren't they? Weren't they a lovely group? I'm going to be greatest. Me and John. We're even good. Our mom to talk to him. Mom, tell him. Lord, I have something to desire. Could my two sons, could they sit the one on the left and on the right? You know. Here's Jesus. Hey! That's his crowd! People talk, well, Jesus spent time around whores. Yes, he did, but he didn't hang around them. He gave them truth. He went to them. You know who he spent time with? Men who love the Lord and want to be around the Lord. The one I'm really didn't. But still went there, he was with them. You understand? I mean, you see the Lord going, I'm going back home. I'm serious. What the Lord said? I mean, think about it. Okay. So what are you guys talking about? What are you talking about?
Which one of us should be greatest?
Like we've gone over this time and time again. You know, it's like, he brings a little child. It's this child here. Except you be converted and become little children. You should know wise inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes and gives my illustration. Passover night. Once again, there's a table debating who's going to be greatest. You got Peter. Huh? I'll never leave that. I'll never say, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. I won't do it. I mean, so who did Jesus like to be around? You ever think real good and long hard about that. Before you use Jesus as an excuse to be around the wrong crowd. No, sir. He went to them. He was a true friend to them. He sat at table and showed them their need for repentance. Again, I ask you, have you done that? Seriously now. Who did he spend time around? And what a group that was. Now, the Lord is the only person that could have said, I've had enough of this. This crowd's killing me. I can't say that. Because you know what? I'm just bad as anybody else. Sinner saved by grace. So before you ever go like, bunch of hypocrites at church. People talk about people. People do this. People do that. Save it. Save it. Save it. Don't even want to hear it. Granted, those things shouldn't be, but don't even go there. With all the problems saints have, it's the best group of people you're going to be around. So you're going to tell me people that don't even have the Lord in them are a better group. Stop it. You are making an excuse to have what you want, and you are trying to avoid conviction about doing right in some area of your life. Now, that's all there is to it. There's something you are trying that you don't want to do that's right. It's got in your craw, and I don't know if it has to do with what you watch, what you look at, what you eat, what you dress, where you go, whatever, but there's something, and you're looking for a way to justify it, and that's part of the way, and that's true. That's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you bad in the long run. Look here. Again, David said, don't gather me with sinners. Do you really expect to hang around with lost and yet be gathered with the righteous? I know somebody says, but I'm saved. Yeah. You may be. But what are you doing hanging around the wrong crowd? Look at verse 10, Psalm 26, verse 10. In whose hands is mischief? And their right hand is full of bribes. Notice how sinners and bloody men are described. Their hands are full of mischief and bribes. The word mischief in the dictionary means harm, injury, evil, harm or damage done by design. Notice, mischief is in their hands. Hands full in offering and seeking for reward for a bribe. Go to Micah 7. Micah 7. In other words, people who are just using for what they can get out of you. People who will just use you for what they can get out of you. Boy, how many of us had to find that out the hard way? Again, I submit to you, Christians, people in this church. Perfect? No. Sinners saved by grace. A better crowd than the world can be at any day and hour. That's the truth, because God abides within. Let me tell you something. With the saved folks, there's potential for doing right by God. With the world, there's not even the potential to do right, because they don't have the Lord in them. Listen. Some of the friends that I had, because again, I went to public school. People that, yeah, I went. So there's people you know, but you know what I found out? They were, even the ones that I thought were friends, you know what they were about? Self. And it's how they could use you to do and get what they wanted. That's the truth. They just, I mean, that's all what it is. So, no. Not my, listen, without somebody that doesn't have the Lord in them, all they can be about ultimately is self. I had to get saved before I could be about anybody but me. Amen. This is truth. Micah 7, look at verse 2. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among them. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. What is it? They drop the hint. They drop the hint. Oh, yeah, I could probably do something for you. You know, I really like this. They'll drop that hint. They'll drop that hint. Let it be known, if you do this for me, I could probably come through and we could get things done and we could, nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes. Notice it says a bribe is in their right hand. Isn't that interesting? A bribe is, look what the Bible singles out, it says their right hand. It doesn't say bribes in their hand. It says, the Bible says, a bribe in their right hand. Their right hand is full of bribes. How come it mentions the right hand? Go to Galatians 2 real quick. Just about done with it. Galatians 2. Galatians 2 verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Listen. You're not evil if you're left-handed. My wife's left-handed. There are people that are left-handed. If you're lefty in here, you're not evil. But most people tend to be right-handed. And in the Bible, the right hand signifies certain positive and right and powerful things. Just does. Now, get over it. But if you think I'm bad with this that kind of thing, it's getting crazy. Listen to me. And I'm just going down this trail just a few feet. But listen to me. This deal that's happening with all the monuments and everything, I didn't get into it. I ain't touching that. We've got bigger fish to fry. But let me tell you something. Well, this thing's liable to lead. When you go down that route. So they wanted to pull down General Lee's statue. Now just listen. First of all, they know nothing about the man. They know nothing about that great Christian man. But where's that going to lead to next? Because Jefferson had slaves. Washington had slaves. Well, I'll tell you where it's led to next. There's a church in Virginia that has had a statue of George Washington in it for I don't know how long because he went there. Now they're thinking about pulling it down. Now listen. Brethren, do you understand what happens when you start nonsense? Because what's going to happen? Give it enough time. Give it time! Brethren, with this great push on, you know, things that are racist when they're not, that book, sooner or later, will come under that kind of fire. Because, brethren, you have slavery in that book. You have all kinds of things in that book that be like, ah, this world came. That book stands against this world evermore every day. And sooner or later, that's what's coming. They won't do away with it. But you talk about coming under fire. If it keeps up, brethren, it has to. Because it gets ridiculous. Because if you take and start monuments, well, he had slaves too. Well, yeah, but these were men of the Bible. The Bible. So just you might as well understand it. And you might as well accept that if you're going to love God, you're going to run contrary to this world. And what sadly is going to happen is there are going to be some just folks that are out there, fruitcakey in their outlook, you know, with a white supremacism and other things. And you know what? Yep. If you stand unequivocally for that book, people are going to lump you even with crowds like that. You just got to trust God. Don't ever compromise truth. The devil will use anything to try to get you to compromise truth and say, well, people will think you're like that. And people will think, well, you got to do is plant that foot and say, well, they might think it, but it ain't true. And God knows, and I trust him. And that's faith. Do you understand me? Amen. You got to plant that foot, plant the other one, and those thoughts that are coming in your head, you have to say, well, reckon it'll have to come. Reckon people think that, but I've got a God who's able to defend my reputation. He's able to let it be known who I am in truth, and I'm not going to fret that thing, and I'm not going to take counsel of my fears, let those things run me. Now, you remember that. You remember it good. All right, look here. Galatians 2, verse 9, that right hand. See, the reason got me on that thing, a right hand means something. It ain't evil to be left-handed, but the right hand speaks of something. And the Bible speaks of the right hand of fellowship. You know, hey, Casey. They would extend the right hand of fellowship. It means something there, right? Okay, now listen. But that's what's the point you're getting at. Okay, the right hand speaks of fellowship. It speaks of strength, of power. Where was this bribe at? The right hand. You see, this speaks of someone offering what looks like friendship and fellowship, but a bribe is hidden in it. In other words, they don't care for you, but for what you can do for them. And you gotta listen. It's out there, and you gotta watch it, and you gotta be careful. There will be people that will offer you fellowship. They will offer you friendship. They extend the right hand, all right. But in that right hand is a bribe. Nobody, listen, nobody's going to see it but you. I mean, Casey. If that was a bill, Casey says, why do you put a bill in there? And I was like, hey, Casey, good to see you, man. Hey, yes, sir, yes, sir. All right, we both know. Now, see, sometimes people will do something for you because they just want to be a blessing to you. You know, you've had people, maybe somebody do that for you. And you know it was a blessing. But you know the difference also when somebody's like, little wink gives on. They're like, you got me. Nobody else knows. But see, you and that person knows. What you need to do is say, there it is, bud. Oh, no, I was just trying to be a blessing to you. Well, I'll be blessed better if you take it back. You know, when you sense it's a bribe, when you sense it's that kind of thing, I'm telling you, there will be people that will offer you fellowship. And in that fellowship, they're offering something else if you'll do this for them. And it's an understood kind of thing. You better stay away from it. You better stay away from it. You better be aware of it. You better understand also that if you're going to be someone of any kind of character, you're going to hurt people's feelings sometimes, and you can't help it, and you'll have to. If you can't handle sometimes some people's feelings being hurt, you're never going to make it for the Lord. Because you're going to hurt some people's feelings sometimes. Should you have a cavalier attitude about it? Like, tough. No, sir, that's not right. And it'll probably kill you. It'll probably kill you. If your heart's where it ought to be, it'll tear you to pieces. And you'll just double, triple check yourself and wonder if you did the right thing. And could you do it over? And God will confirm it to you and you'll still go. But it's going to be unavoidable that sometimes you're going to hurt somebody's feelings and get them upset at you if you do right by God and try to be a true friend and a help. It's just going to happen. Amen. And sometimes there's some things that you'll know there's an ulterior motive behind it, and you're going to have to say no to it, and the person is going to take they're going to take this moral high ground on you and go, I was just trying to be a blessing. And see, you can sense what's going on, but you'll just have to say, well, it'd be more of a blessing if you'll just, you'll just take it right there yourself. And they might say something about you, and they might do this, and they might take an attitude towards you, and just, that's okay. God knows. God knows. Young folks, learn right now that you can't please everybody. So please God. And you understand right now that if you try to do right, you're going to make somebody upset. And it may even, for a while, cause them to break fellowship with you. If you know that you've tried to do right by God, God's able to call it all out in time. He's able to take care of it. I wish I could say, fellas, I'll tell you guys, I wish I could say that it was unavoidable. It was avoidable, I mean, but it's not. It's not. Those kind of things will happen. But you know what it'll help you do? You know what it'll help you do? It will help you realize who's really true and who's a friend to you and who's only a fair-weather, superficial friend. Really? Because you'll find there's somebody that really cares. They don't want you violating your conscience. They don't want you taking and they'll be like, hey, I mean, listen, they won't take. If they know that you came about, listen, if they know that you meant well from it and you're just trying to do right, they're not going to take no offense. They're not going to take no offense. Not if they have a maturity to them and are really trying to walk with the Lord. You'll find out sometimes how somebody handles something that reveals truly where they're at. And it'll help you to know those things. Let's go back to Psalm 26, closing it up. Look what your Bible says. Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. I know we're about done and we're going home and But would you ask yourself sometime tonight, do you love the habitation of His house? Do you love to be around people that God dwells in? Do you love to be around the church? Do you love to be around the people, places that God dwells in, the things of God? Or would you rather be around people that are the world? Now, would you ask yourself that tonight? And the place within honor dwelleth. Brethren, we should so, if He dwells within us, we should so live that He can bestow honor upon us. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. Again, you can't expect to hang around one crowd and be gathered with another. Something ain't right there. In whose hand is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. You know what you'll find out? They seem to be full of good fellowship and good times, but there's a motive behind it, a self-seeking motive behind it that ultimately will reveal itself. You need to be aware. You need to be forewarned. Forewarned should be forearmed. God's people perfect? No, sir. No, sir. Perfect in Christ. But in their flesh, no. Have struggles. Going to let you down? Yep. Going to happen. Going to sometimes seem hypocritical in their actions? Oh, yep, no doubt. But here's the thing about it. So are you. In some way and in some aspect. And so be very careful before you ever use the people of God as an excuse for going and fellowshipping with the world or keeping away from the things of God. Because what that thing really masks is it's not so much an indignation of, well, I can't believe the way people are. Whoa. Then listen, let me say this to you. Well, Jesus is our high priest. He understands all things. So if you really get upset at the way some Christians act, why don't you go pray? Because Jesus knows what that's like. Look at the crowd. Look at His disciples. I want to be greatest. I'll never leave you. Look at all the junk. So He understands. He's a high priest, a faithful high priest. He understands. So if that's the truth, then why don't you go talk to the Lord about it and get some comfort from Him? And boy, then you can stay with the right crowd like Jesus did. Then you can go to the lost and be a help to them like Jesus did, but fellowshipping with the right crowd with all their problems. If you want to do right, you can go to the Lord and get help from Him. But too often what the problem really is, I want to do what I want to do. I want things of the flesh and the world. And Christians or people in my church or whatever are the convenient reason I need. Listen. If you don't want to do right, I wish this wouldn't be so, and I strive for it not to be so. I really do. But if you don't want to do right, just examine me long enough, and I'll give you the excuse you're needing to do what you want. I'm serious. You can start hyper-examining me, and you can put me on, and shame on me, and God help me, and I don't want it to be that way, but I'll give you what you're looking for. Surely will. There's something I'll say. Oh, look here, here's what happened. Something, a comment I make that used to, maybe 6 months ago, you thought was funny, it ain't funny no more. The preacher is too lighthearted. I mean, he's too lighthearted. He shouldn't laugh out there. It was funny 6 months ago, but it's not funny now. It's funny, yeah, it's like, and you know, it's like he needs to be more serious. He needs to be more serious. And I tell you, that really bothers me. I think there's just a lack of, I got you. Well, you pray for me. You pray for me. Unless the Lord shows me, I'm not going to change anything. Because I think, look here, since God gives us the full gamut of emotions, if you can get righteously indignant, laugh a little and cry a little in the service, you've done pretty good. What I'm saying is, listen. If you're looking for something, I'm sure I'll provide it for you. I hope not, and I'll try not to. But let me tell you something. If you're just looking, you may get what you're looking for. But you've got a God in heaven that sees the full deal. And you'll have to face it too. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, as we've been going through Psalm 26, Lord, there's just a continuing theme there. What we're going to do? Like I said, when we went through Deuteronomy 22:5, we can't just throw rocks at the verses. There they are. There they are, precious Lord and Father. Help us, dear God, to honestly, Lord, look, examine, be honest with you. And, oh, Father, just help us. Help us, Lord. Lord, especially those of us that you dwell within. Lord, if David loved the habitation of your house, surely we must, we should. And, Father, help us to meditate on these things and lay them to heart as your Spirit will show us and guide and direct us. And we ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.